What happens when the world tells you you're not enough? Not pretty enough, not conventional enough, not the right kind of woman, and you simply refuse to believe them? Barbara Streisand's life answers that question with stunning clarity. Born into poverty, losing her father at 15 months old, and raised by a mother too overwhelmed to show affection, she had every reason to shrink into the background. Instead, she became one of the most influential artists of our time, not by conforming, but by insisting on her own vision with ferocious determination. Critics called her everything from a sour persimmon to a Babylonian queen, yet none of these labels stuck because she never allowed others to define her. The girl who shared a bed with her mother in her grandparents' cramped apartment would eventually command stages worldwide, direct groundbreaking films, and become the only artist with number one albums across six consecutive decades. Her story isn't about natural advantages or lucky breaks. It's about what becomes possible when you trust your instincts more than the doubters surrounding you. Some artists create from joy. Others transform pain into beauty. Streisand belongs firmly in the second category. Her father, Emmanuel, a brilliant educator, died when she was barely a toddler. What came after shaped her more. A disinterested stepfather and an emotionally distant mother, who, when asked why she never showed affection, responded devastatingly, "I didn't have time." This deprivation forged fierce independence. By age 10, she was essentially raising herself, developing psychosomatic illnesses that went unaddressed. "That's when I decided I would never lower myself for any man," she recalls, a promise shaping every relationship and professional negotiation throughout her life. She channeled pain into art. Her attraction to tragic love stories wasn't accidental. Their tragedy, loss, and missed opportunities allowed me to cry in the darkness of the theater. The depth audiences heard wasn't technique, it was lived experience. At 14, watching The Diary of Anne Frank, Streisand realized, "Anne is 14? I'm Jewish. Why couldn't I play the part?" She devoured Stanislavski's Acting Method trilogy, rescued her late father's Shakespeare collection, and traded babysitting for lessons at Alan Miller's Manhattan acting class. What emerged was an artist who thought differently. Asked to become a chocolate chip cookie, she became first kneaded in dough, then melting in agony in the oven. Playing a sexually inexperienced girl, she explored innocent physical contact, entwining fingers, standing on his feet like a child dancing with her father, touching his face with closed eyes. The authentically awkward yet deeply moving performance left her classmate blushing and the class applauding. Though rejected from the actor's studio, she wrote unsent letters to Lee Strasberg, articulating the something in nothing, how simplicity and truth create powerful performances. She never chased technical perfection. She pursued emotional authenticity, trusting genuine feeling would always resonate more deeply than polished artifice. Desperate for $50, Streisand entered a talent contest at the Lion, a gay bar. Her friends Sis and Harvey Korman had never heard her sing. She performed a sleepin' bee facing the wall, too embarrassed to watch. When she held a high note on Love, the stunned room erupted. This led to an audition at the Bonsoir, where she had a premonition. This night could change my life. When the spotlight hit her face, she discovered something magical. The light blinded her to the audience, letting her concentrate on acting through the song. Headliner Larry Storch grabbed her arm. "Kid, you're gonna be a star." Critics praised a startlingly young, stylish, and vibrant-voiced Gaiman, and the find of the year. Her two-week booking extended to 11 weeks. Her performances were revolutionary. She approached each song as a miniature play, standing silently during introductions to preserve those moments. Through songs like Right as the Rain, she created dramatic arcs, shifting from languid sadness to defiance. In 45 minutes, she became a dozen different characters, a one-woman repertory company bringing theatrical depth to the nightclub stage. At her I Can Get It For You Wholesale audition, Barbara Streisand corrected the producer's pronunciation of her name, unpacked snacks, and let her sheet music trail behind her. During rehearsals, she battled director Arthur Lawrence over performing Miss Marmelstein sitting in a chair, rolling to the footlights with her feet paddling like a duck. At the Philadelphia dress rehearsal, she made one final plea, "Please let me try it in my chair." Arthur snapped, "Okay, do it in your goddamn chair." Opening night, she stopped the show. This pattern, fighting for creative control, even when it made her difficult, would define her career. When Columbia Records rejected her as too Broadway, she waited until they changed their minds, negotiating unprecedented control over song selection, which proved crucial as she worked with arranger Peter Matz to create sophisticated, dramatic interpretations. Her 15-year battle to bring Yentl to screen epitomized the struggle. Studio executives couldn't see past the Jewish context to the universal theme of gender equality. Despite winning Golden Globes for Best Director and Best Motion Picture, she was ignored for Best Director at the Academy Awards. Male directors seemed unhappy she'd joined their club. Not one asked about Yentl at industry parties. The message was clear. Women who insisted on creative control paid a price, but she'd learned early that lowering herself for approval never worked. Emmanuel Streisand's death when Barbara was 15 months old shaped everything she created. When she received Isaac Bashevis Singer's Yentl the Yeshiva Boy in 1968, the opening words, after her father's death, made her heart skip. The tale of a young Jewish woman disguising herself as a man to study Torah became her story. The synchronicities were extraordinary. The tombstone next to her father's bore the name Anshel, the same uncommon name Yentl adopts. In the film, she created a father figure named Mendel, the Hebrew version of Emmanuel, in her father's image. Through directing, she realized she had to be my own father. This quest appeared throughout her life. Her friendship with Shimon Peres, whom she described as having my father's kindness, empathy, and dignity. Her relationship with Warner Bros. Executive Steve Ross, who became the father figure I'd always imagined. Even her political activism, seeking to make the world safer than the one that took her father away. After her mother's death, Streisand received an unfinished painting showing her as an adult with her father sketched above. With it came revelations. Her mother was jealous of her father's attention to Barbara, felt she was too much, and was sorry she never expressed her pride. "I understood that my mother did love me, in her way. The wounds never fully heal, but understanding transforms them." In a world demanding women be smaller and quieter, Barbara Streisand's life stands as magnificent refusal. The girl who shared a bed with her overwhelmed mother, who desperately sought her stepfather's approval, who was told she wasn't pretty enough, that girl refused to disappear. Instead, she became one of our most influential artists by trusting her instincts over her doubters. Her legacy transcends the music and films that moved millions. It's proof of what becomes possible when you insist on your vision with ferocious determination. Every battle for creative control, every difficult label, every slammed door she kicked back open became the foundation of her success. Now in her 80s, married to James Brolin and cherishing her role as Gamma, Streisand has found peace. "I want to go where the wind takes me, to be light enough to let it bring me where I should go," she reflects. After decades of being her own father, protecting, pushing, providing, she's finally allowing herself to simply be. Her story asks, "What would you create if you stopped waiting for permission?" The world will always say you can't. Streisand's life reminds us the most powerful response isn't argument, it's refusing to believe them.